There's now just over 1 month left to the 50th International Eucharistic Congress in Dublin, Ireland. Dublin's ready, and Ireland's ready too. So will you be coming to the land of 100,000 welcomes to celebrate the Eucharist, communion with Christ, and with one another? If you thought the International Eucharistic Congress was just for Catholics, then you'd be wrong. Congress is for everyone. It may be the 50th global gathering of the Catholic Church on the Eucharist, but from the outset, the Archbishop of Dublin, Dr. Diarmaid Martin, decided this Congress should also become an opportunity to further the ecumenical journey on the island nation, which for historical reasons has often been an uphill climb. This can be seen not only in the choice of the theme for the Congress, the Eucharist, communion with Christ and with one another, but by the very fact that the opening day of the Congress has been dedicated entirely to our shared faith with other Christian churches. On the opening day, Monday, June 11th, pilgrims will explore the theme Communion in One Baptism with leading figures from other Christian churches, such as Brother Alois Luser, prior of the Taizé community in France, Dr. Maria Voce, president of the Focolare movement, which has a particular charism in ecumenical and interreligious dialogue, and Metropolitan Hilarion Afayev from the Russian Orthodox Church. But not all.
There is a genuine sense of excitement and expectation right across the Christian traditions in Ireland, and we all wish the Eucharistic Congress everything that is best.
One of the men who has been helping in the preparations and lead up to this worldwide event has been the Anglican Archbishop of Dublin, a close collaborator and friend of Archbishop Martin, the Reverend Dr. Michael Jackson, Archbishop of Dublin and Glendalough.
I think we're also delighted that the ecumenical aspect of the Eucharist and communion, which I think is very much its focus, is something that's coming through.
Not only will he be addressing pilgrims on that first day of the Congress, but he will also be leading the central liturgy, a special ecumenical celebration of Word and Water. Well, as the clock ticks down to this most important event in the life of Ireland, in the life of its Christian communities, I spoke to Archbishop Jackson about his hopes for Congress, the current state of ecumenical dialogue in Ireland, and our common challenge of being people of faith in an increasingly secular society.
I think it's a wonderful opportunity, and with a small degree of risk, I suppose, but a wonderful opportunity to invite somebody who is genuinely sympathetic and also part of another part of the Christian family to preside at the liturgy on the first day. I think one of the important things that comes across as I look at the excellent preparatory material is that communion, understood most widely, is very much at the heart of this Congress. And so baptism, as something which is recognized and respected and practiced across the traditions in a very specific way, is a wonderful way into the exploration of communion as shared life. So that's, in a sense, why I'm particularly excited to be part of it. And, you know, the organizing committee have been in touch with me in a variety of ways. And I think taking the sense of baptism in water and the Spirit and using that as a way of exploring together a number of things important in the life of the churches and of our nation at this time is a very exciting place to be.
In fact, Archbishop Jackson, the importance of the ecumenical aspect of the Congress in the life of Christians in Ireland, it's really a call for all the churches, not just the Catholic or Church of Ireland, but also the Methodist Church, the Presbyterians, all those present there, to really focus on the ecumenical journey, isn't it?
It is. And in some ways, this has been symbolised already through the bell, which has made its way across the country. And not only were Archbishop Diarmaid Martin and I at the Ploughing Championship where the bell was there, but actually the leaders of the other churches as well. And I think two things in particular will probably happen. There's an element of what I would call internal instruction, which is actually facilitating people who are faithful in the Roman Catholic tradition to see communion as something beyond Eucharist, something within it and something beyond it, and to enable the rest of us to see communion in the same light. And I think, you know, I might as well be quite honest about this. It's important for us all, as it were, to see beyond what to many people is an ecumenical logjam, which is the fact that we do not together celebrate and share the Eucharist. I think what the Eucharistic Congress is encouraging us to do is to take the fullness of Eucharist in the tradition of each of us and actually to take that sense of belonging to Christ and to sharing that spirit through communion understood very widely together with one another and also in the life of the communities where we are. And the whole world knows of the current economic and social difficulties which we have in Ireland. This, I think, is a tremendous invitation to all of us who carry the cross of Christ to make a contribution together to trying to formulate and shape a fresh direction for our society.
It really will be a very strong moment of communion that opens this week-long Congress that sees all of the leaders of the Church, and you in particular as a representative of the Church of Ireland, leading the liturgy on the first day, Monday. Can you speak to us perhaps about the current state of ecumenical dialogue between the different churches in Ireland, the progresses it has made, the challenges that remain, particularly keeping in mind that a lot of our audience are an international audience, and so perhaps the only memories they have of relations between the Christian churches in Ireland, unfortunately, is associated with the troubles in the north?
I think one of the things that has come through very strongly to me, having worked the last 10 years, specifically in Northern Ireland in a cross-border diocese, which is the Diocese of Clogher, and now coming to work in Dublin, is that the opportunity for us all to live peaceably and also creatively in this sense of communion is now very important. People internationally, of course, are right to remember Ireland in terms of the divisions which kind of have held here throughout history. But within the context of them, there have been many principled people of Christian faith and also of concern for society who have tried to push people beyond that. Now, I think this very public and this very worldwide expression of a desire to be a fresh and a new community together through the Eucharist and through baptism is actually very important. And that's why I said earlier that it's a way, as it were, of a sort of internal instruction and information for Roman Catholic people, and also a way of offering that sense of fresh beginning to the rest of us. Within my own context, I have always felt that it's much better to do together what it would not be complete to do apart. But within that framework, one has, of course, to live within the discipline of one's own church and of other churches as well. Many people, I think, are saddened, frustrated at the fact that it's not possible for people to share officially the Eucharist together. And I can understand that pain as much as anything, because these people are faithful and they read their Bible and they know John chapter 17 and the whole gift of God, that we be one as the Father and the Son are one. But I think we need to work with a mixture of holy patience and holy impatience. And if this is the situation institutionally where the churches are, we need to dig deeper and look for ways in which we can express that solidarity, that togetherness, and that communion. Because again, I think there's very helpful information in relation to this, which has gone out ahead of time, because there is a communion, of course, of the sacraments. But there's also a communion of charity. There's a communion of belonging to one another. There's a communion of faith and also a communion of action. And I think what I'd love to see coming out of the Congress is that those who are leaders, and leaders aren't always people at the top, those who are leaders in their own community might have the opportunity to work through what communion in fact means in the situation in which we find ourselves on the ground. So I think there's tremendous potential for the future in relation to all of this.
In fact, if I may add just one other question, Archbishop Rowan Williams' Easter message, his sermon on Easter Sunday, was of profound interest, but it also was something that was very similar to what Pope Benedict has been speaking about, and that is the marginalisation of God and of faith from society. This is something that is particularly concerning perhaps in the Anglophone world, in the United Kingdom and in Ireland. Is this something that you see the churches being able to work more jointly onto, being in communion, to bringing faith back within society? Is it a problem that also faces the Archdiocese of Dublin and the wider church in Ireland?
It does indeed. I mean, I regularly say that a divided Christian witness convinces nobody. I think it doesn't convince people inside the churches, and it certainly doesn't convince people who look quizzically at the churches. And I think one of the wonderful opportunities that we now have is to build in simplicity rather than, as it were, building in a massive picture. Communities who work together on issues which actually preserve that community, develop it and enrich it, are telling us very interesting things. And those of us who maybe have a bigger or a broader responsibility do well to listen to them, so that there are examples of good practice, there are situations where people rejoice in their Christian faith, where they actually share it not only with one another, but with other people, with the generosity which enhances the life experience of those people. And that interaction, I'm very happy to call it communion because I think it is lived communion, is something that I'd hope would come out. As I said, I mean, there are frustrations. But as I would talk with people here and as I, develop what is now a very strong personal friendship and working relationship with Archbishop Diarmaid Martin, I also see that there is a tremendous willingness to push the boat out and to explore things that are of common concern and common interest. And the same would hold with the Presbyterian and the Methodist Church. I think we're in a new place. I also think that we have a very interesting possibility in Ireland because we have a number of Orthodox traditions and they're very keen to work in with us through the Irish Council of Churches. I mean, the new president of the Irish Council of Churches is a Romanian Orthodox priest. So there's a whole range of stuff which is happening in Ireland. And one of the things in which, people from outside Ireland might be interested is that our smaller scale means that we need to know one another. And so we meet one another on a much more personal basis. And things in that way become quite possible. It's much easier in a way to explore this sense of adventure and good faith where actually you meet people on a regular basis.
In the run-up to the Congress, perhaps one of the most poignant signs of this renewed coming together, this renewed active communion, if you will, was the historic joint Way of the Cross that you led together with Archbishop Diarmaid Martin of Dublin on Good Friday this year. Historic because it was the first time that you both led the Way of the Cross. How did that come about and why did it take so long?
Well, I suppose I can give you two different answers. One is it came across, came about because Archbishop Martin and I were talking a few months back and we simply came up with the idea together. That's how it came about. As to why it took so long, I simply don't know. Maybe just the friendship or the chemistry, whatever people might want to call it, between Archbishop Martin and me meant that this came through as an idea. Now, one of the things that's important for us to remember is that there's a very well-established tradition in the Roman Catholic pro-cathedral of taizé worship, reflection and prayer on the evening of Good Friday. People have the opportunity in their parishes and in their communities to mark the Passion on Good Friday in ways which are particular and special to them. For example, I was responsible for a three-hour meditation in St. Anne's Church in Dawson Street on that day, and then went on to the Way of the Cross. The other thing is that we're working quite significantly in sort of ministry which enables the cathedrals and the pro-cathedral in Dublin to work together in a much more organic sense. So Christchurch Cathedral seemed to be an obvious place from which to start, and the pro-cathedral seemed to be an obvious place to which to go. What to me was quite exciting was that on arrival in Christchurch Cathedral, it was packed. And that was tremendously exciting, and I really appreciate the effort that people made from every tradition to be there on the evening of Good Friday. And then we made our way out, and I think this was part of the witnessing. We walked in the street. We walked down Dame Street, we walked down Westmoreland Street, down O'Connell Street, and then we turned right and got into Marlborough Street through North Earl Street to the Pro-Cathedral. So it was a public thing to do, and people joined us on the way. And when we reached the Pro-Cathedral, there were other hundreds of people there. And I think that sense of togetherness, and if I can use the word that, in a sense, I feel is very strong in describing forthcoming Eucharistic Congress, that sense of communion was already there across and among the people who wanted to be part of that walk of witness. And again, you know, I want to thank Archbishop Barton. I want to thank all of the people who came and the people who really contributed to something which everybody has regarded as significant. One of the first pieces of correspondence I received when I was appointed to the position of Archbishop of Dublin and Bishop of Glendalough would have been back in February last year, and it was from Archbishop Diarmaid Martin asking me if I would participate in the Eucharistic Congress. And yeah, I really appreciate that. And this whole experience and exploration of the Eucharistic Congress and its potential for all of the people of Ireland has grown out of that proactive act of generosity on his part. And I really wish everybody involved in Eucharistic Congress what is best. The fact that it'll be a very public event, I think, is very important because from time to time, I think Christians are much happier, as it were, not to meet in secret, but actually to be much more quiet about it. And I think to have the confidence on the part of the Roman Catholic Church to do this itself, and also from the outset to open it ecumenically through the primary sacrament of baptism to everybody else is a great and a wonderful leap of faith. And I just wish everybody everything that's best. And I myself am really looking forward to it.
And we need to underline, of course, that everyone from every Christian faith is more than welcome to attend.
Absolutely. And an awful lot of people from traditions other than the Roman Catholic tradition, are already involved in planning and stewarding and all of that. So, I mean, it really is already a very combined event, and everybody is extremely welcome to be there.
Our thanks there to Reverend Michael Jackson, Anglican Archbishop of Dublin and Glendalough. And if you would like to hear more from Archbishop Jackson and indeed be part of the Congress experience, why not register as a pilgrim? There are still 4 weeks left to go. For all information, go to www.iec2012.ie. I'm Eimear McCarthy.